You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Expeditionary home of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are, whatever you're doing. We're broadcasting from Marine Corps Base, Quantico, Virginia. And headed out to the basic school here in a little bit and going to give them the post-traumatic winning brief that is winning over hearts and minds everywhere we go. It's awesome. So Josh Goldberg came down yesterday, and Katie Beasley took the train up from North Carolina to Quantico. Gunner flew in from the great state of Texas, and so for about an hour, we gave our kind of pitch to the general officers of the Marine Corps in attendance. And it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. So I'd say off the top of my head, how was it received? They liked it. And let me tell you what they can't do. You know, a lot of them, I mean, let me just tell you and play devil's advocate. And if I were among them. Okay, so what? This is the flavor of the week? And the answer to that is no, right? And I bring friends that I didn't have a month ago, okay, in the form of a spouse, okay? I bring friends in the form of a sergeant major who I barely know. Here's what they have to say. I offer it to you, okay? And then I also tell them that, hey, look, get on the phone, call 28. Call 36, call units that are putting this into practice and see what they have to say. So it's and then I've heard, by the by, that you know, the statistics that the Marine Corps tracks on a regular basis are let's see. They are trending in a direction that they haven't trended in a long time in the 2nd Marine Division. So the Commandant is evidently the one that's pointing to that statistic and saying, and has been tracking it, saying, I was curious, what metric can I use to judge if McNamara's stuff is worth anything or if he's just the entertaining human being that he is. Which I am, and he was in attendance yesterday. he started yelling at me. So you can't deny that, right? And I would tell you that as I continue to watch this thing like a hawk, That is just the explosion. And I will read you. I don't know if I've done this, but I will read you something I wrote on a plane flying out here. Kind of an introduction to the whole thing. And I read it yesterday. I said, I don't normally read things when I give classes, but this is a little bit different. It's really compressed, so I feel the need to stick to a script where normally I would not do so. But the evidence is undeniable that what post-traumatic winning talks about. And if you look at it like a piece of ordnance, okay, if you look at it like a piece of ordnance, and you drop it, it will change the trajectory of the discussion, okay, as well as be emblazed in the head of anybody who sees it. So I'll read you what I wrote. But you can't deny that, period. You can't deny the statistics. But what then happens is what's happening now in the second division is you have all these junior leaders that have watched this problem and are just as frustrated as anybody else. Like, why don't we seem to be able to get to these guys? But except now you've given them tools. You pull the curtain back and you say, hey, these things are true. This is not the way life is. This is the way life is. And they believe it. And well, they should. Because just like when I was a captain and my gunny said, you're never getting over this. That thing had special power because the guy who said it to me, he was straight up legit. Right? So it had, I never questioned, you know, after our initial kind of conversation about it, I never questioned because the guy who gave that to me was legit. He was a great Marine. And so, the Marines that have now look at the Eight Commandments and the two goals of post-traumatic winning, the Marines that look at that say things like, yeah, we have these commandments, right? And it's like, I love it when they say that. Oh, we have these commandments about how to do it. That's the truth to them. That's the undeniable truth to them because they know, because they met us, legit guys with multiple combat tours. We've done this stuff. So, and then they have this guy that hangs out with them, you know, named Goldberg, that, you know, makes you smart about all these other things. Let me tell you, and Josh is wearing a sport coat yesterday. It very much looks like the PhD. Yeah, he should just assume the title because that's what everybody thinks he is. Let me, you're going to hear a best of edition today because yesterday was crazy. Josh was leaving. Mike had to fly out. Katie had to catch a train. There was a ton of people to talk to that wanted to talk to us, and so I was not able to record anything. We will have to do that next week. Maybe, I don't know what I can do tomorrow, because, you know, after I do this first hour this morning, as I said, I head out to the basic school where I'll do the pitch again for them and to tell them, hey, this is, you might want to take a look at this. And arm lieutenants with this knowledge because they'll probably go out. And if they don't see it, they'll be the first to begin the discussion about it, which means they'll be a genius. Wise beyond their years. So, and then tonight I'm going to head up to Boulder Crest. I've never been up there, never seen it. So I'm going to head up there and check it out and then have dinner with Josh and get a chance to meet Ken Falk. And so excited about that. I've been introduced via a mutual friend to Ken. I've had him on the program, and so it's going to be nice to finally meet him and sit down and talk with he and Josh and check their place out. So I'll go do that, and then tomorrow morning I'm trying to link up with Bob Nielsen, the godfather of post-traumatic winning, and then after that, what I'll do is I think come back and hang out with my son and go to a hockey game Friday night. Yeah. And then I don't know what we'll do on Saturday. It'll be a family day. And I think I'm going to get to see my quote-unquote nephew, actually my cousin's son, but my cousin Patty's like a sister to me. So I call him my nephew. My nephew John is in his OCS right now. So hopefully we get a chance to see him on Saturday. And so then fly home on Sunday. So exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. So good morning to you. Thanks for making Almond Radio, as always, part of your morning. We'll start the program, and I'll read you that thing that I said I'd read to you, because it's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. And as you know, I'm a fan of my, I'm one of my own biggest fans, but even I was impressed with this. Okay, so it's kind of an introduction to, before we do the class, this is what I want to tell you about the class, all right? So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes the program official here on this Thursday morning. I'm kind of lost track of the days. I know it's Thursday because Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney are both yelling at me, hey, are we doing this thing today? Or hey, are we doing this thing today? And I said, no, bros. I got work to do. So, good morning to you. Dedicated to the Commandant. Yeah. To the Commandant, and then a whole bunch of people, General Dana, who was instrumental in making this happen, to Woody, Colonel Type, to his staff, and a whole bunch of majors who were doing audio-visual stuff in the back, who added the Sergeant Major video. Sergeant Major made a 4-minute video that's like almost a gigabyte. Yeah, he needs to like dial down the video settings, okay, bro, next time. But anyway, and so they were like, we don't have anything big enough, you know, to, we don't have, it's breaking all of our hard drives, so anyway. We don't have that much space, but they solved that issue. They somehow found one that was big enough and used it. So, just dedicated to all those people who helped us yesterday get this thing going. Thank you, all of you, very much.
Our flag comes through to every region of the world. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I will tell you what, it's cold back here. And last night it was windy. General Furness and I went out to dinner. So David and I are walking. And we're going to a restaurant. He said, up by Potomac Mills, which is north of the base. We get out of the car and we're walking. And the wind's blowing in our face. And it is cold. And he said, well, we're walking, and he said, well, there's a P.F. Chang's, there's this. I'm like, we're going to the first restaurant, man. he starts laughing, and, it was P.F. Chang's. Boom, we get in, and the guy says, hey, welcome. It's like, hey, man, thanks. Freezing out there. Chili and sea bass, though. Pretty good, not going to lie to you. I'm a fan of chili and sea bass. It's delicious fish. All right, currently in Quantico, it's sunny and 14 degrees. Yeah. Camp Lejeune, it is sunny and 31 degrees. Granbury, Texas, clouds and 45. Camp Pendleton, 29 Palms, is cloudy and 45 as well. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 47. Okinawa, Japan, is cloudy and 62. In the Al Anbar province, it is cloudy in 62 in the city of Ramadi. In the city of Marja, it is clear and 53 in Afghanistan. And at the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 55 degrees. Looking for a high today of 61 on the West Coast with rain. What is going on out there, man? It's too much rain. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we will. I'll read you how I kind of opened our little presentation yesterday, and so I think you'll enjoy that. I think it's quality work. Anyway, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a group can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go.
Fascinated, and I always have been kind of by it. I have a creative side to me. I don't share it with people, but I do. And I've always been intrigued by songwriting. How do you do it? How do you make a piece of music? And so I asked Peyton that yesterday. I said, hey, how do you do it? I mean, do you have a piece of music in your head and you begin to write words to it? Do you have the words in your head, then you find a melody for it? She said, well, it just depends. It could be either way. And she said, it depends if you're writing alone or with somebody else. So, yeah, Mac, the creative one. Boom. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a Springsteen fan, and if you like him, I think you're... I think the nuances of lyrics are, you know, what I love about his songwriting. And so I look for that. Yeah, I look for that. Anyhow, let me tell you what you're going to hear after the after the live part of the program today. It is the 51st anniversary of Marines in going into Hawaii City. So you're going to hear that today, and you might hear some more of it tomorrow. You're going to hear a couple of battle study today, and that is with General Christmas. You can find the battle study under battle studies heading on the website, right? Complete with maps and everything. And I would encourage you to take a look at it. The one that we do with General Christmas, listen to this. The length is two hours, 3 minutes, and 41 seconds. Yeah. So you'll hear a battle study today. It's pretty cool. If you never listened to him, listen to this one. He's an iconic piece of Marine Corps history. And we had done one interview before we did this one, and that interview was just kind of a general interview about his career. But you can't talk about his career and try to do, you know, what happened at Hawaii in the same show. It'd be like a 7-hour show. And he certainly wouldn't want to talk about himself for that long. So I did not ask him to do such a thing. So, but today, and I met some people from the Commandant's Protocol Office yesterday as I was waiting for General Furness. And I have the woman's card. What's her name? Hold on. Her name is Nancy Torres. Right? So they're part of the Special Projects Directorate, Office of the Director, Marine Corps Staff, which I believe is General Dana. So anywho, they deal with like all the special events that go on for the Commandant and the Assistant Commandant, which are some pretty cool events. And so they were talking about Sergeant Major Canley and just what an incredible guy he is. And then they got a chance to meet the men of, I think it's Alpha Company 1-1, and the stories that they told about him. And she said, you just sat there and listened to him. And then they were in the White House, right, the day of Sergeant Major Canley's Medal of Honor presentation, award ceremony. So so she's telling me that, and I said, I watched that ceremony. I said, I loved it because it's so rowdy. She's like, I know, we were laughing like these guys are rowdy, and they're rowdy in the White House. This is awesome. So anyway, it was just very, you know, the things that she said about Sergeant Major Canley and you know, that he's just he is a absolutely regular guy and loves his Marines and all he was trying to do was do what he thought he was supposed to be doing. So anyway, you'll hear that was one part of 1-1 that was in Way City, and so you'll hear, I believe, General Christmas's hotel company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marine. So, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines was Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta. 2nd Battalion was Echo, Fox, Golf, Hotel. Yeah, so he was Hotel 2-5. So, you're going to hear where Captain Christmas becomes a piece of Marine Corps history. So, after this. All right. So, with that said, let me go ahead and read you what I wrote yesterday. And then we'll check some news headlines as we head towards the top of the hour, and then you'll hear General Christmas. So, when I was flying back, I have these ideas that pop into my head now. And normally what it is, it's something that somebody says about post-traumatic winning or another thought that I take and I bounce it off what I know, and it begins to make me look at something in a little bit different way, even just ways to articulate it. Okay, like General Furness, you know, he said something that now I've stolen from him. He says, you know, look, 98% of the Marines are doing the right thing. You know, and you know, we've got 2% that, you know, are struggling. Now, I think there's more that are struggling, but that's not the point. The point is what post-traumatic winning tries to do is sick the 98% on the 2%. That's right. We sick the 98 on the 2% and say, go help them. Go do good things. Yeah. Go do good things. And, I mean, come on, how cool is that? So anyway, so I have these, and this what I love about when you surround yourself with creative people, and people that think about stuff and you know and flip it over in their head and look at it this way and combine it with it. Anyway, when you're around those people, then you become more creative, right? You, as a problem, and I'm talking about as a leader, as a problem solver, which to me is very cool. So. That's what happened with this. So anyway, I keep having these different thoughts. And I will tell you this. I've said this last week or earlier this week. I can't remember. But I've started using, again, Microsoft OneNote. And I love it, right? I have a stylus on my phone. I can pull the stylus out in the middle of the night, and I can write a note, save it. It not only saves it, it syncs it. I can pull it up on my computer, type out what I wrote, and now it's embedded in something else. So, yeah, less gold falling through the cracks on the floor. So I love that. So anyway, when I was flying cross country, I was thinking, you know, how did I introduce this thing? And so I started, you know, just I hadn't already had an outline of a very brief introduction, and then it grew. So here's what it became. All right. So I was introduced by General Furness. So Dave introduces me. I grab the microphone. Thank you, General. And then the commandant sitting like right in front of me. I'm up on the stage. He's down below. He and his wife Darcy. General Neller, thank you for this incredible honor today. I have so many friends in this audience, former students. Even my former OCS platoon sergeant was there. Except he really wasn't. He was supposed to be, but he wasn't there. I went on. It's a special honor to be here today to talk about post-traumatic winning. Because in my opinion, you have an opportunity to put the Marine Corps on a path to being a national leader in the area of organizational suicide prevention. And there isn't 1 ounce of bullshit in that statement. I called this show that you're about to see the mother of all PMEs. I've only seen one other PME in my life that has affected people like this one does. And that is Colonel Zinni at the basic school in 1990, which changed a lot of lives, including my own. This show is a weapon. When detonated on a unit, it will change the trajectory of the mental health destructive behavior discussion that is ongoing within that organization. Not can, not might, it will. The show and those discussions will release the creative intellectual energy of thousands of Marines who feel the same sickness that we all feel at our growing suicide number and want to do something about it. Those discussions will lead to action using simple tools that you'll see here today. Leaders will assess, plan, measure, course correct, and change the lives of Marines. And those Marines will never be the same. Because after they get exposed to this stuff, they will begin to touch people's lives with those same tools. And they will find out what we have found out, that changing lives is addicting. And most importantly, moves them from one side of the ledger, the sheep side, to the other side, the shepherd side. As we get ready to go into the class here in a minute or so, I want you to remember two examples. Number one, the POWs held at the Hanoi Hilton. They had a 4% PTSD rate. There wasn't one single mental health specialist among them. The rate for Vietnam veterans as a whole is 30%. Their secret? They had to tap, which is how they communicated with their little code, on pipes, on the wall, on anything. You had to tap. That was Admiral Stockdale's rule. You had to tap. when you got out of being tortured, you had to tap. Silence and isolation, right, were a death sentence, and they knew that. He knew that. And when you tapped, what happened? They pulled you back into the tribe. I've humiliated myself. I've betrayed you all. They broke me, right? And you've heard us talk about this stuff. Welcome to the club. So what did their tribe do? Their tribe embraced them. Their tribe brought them back into them. Their tribe loved them, and it made them better. That is the major footnote of the Hannah Hilton. Those guys made each other better. Please remember that. Keep that in your mind today. Second example is Sergeant Jeremiah Workman, retired staff sergeant now. As a result of being awarded Navy Cross, which is one below the Medal of Honor in the United States Marine Corps, which coincidentally, the award ceremony happened the week after he was relieved as a drill instructor at Parris Island. Jeremiah became a celebrity for the one thing in his life that was killing him, the loss of three of his Marines in a firefight in which he killed 24 insurgents. He and his Marines killed 24 insurgents. He, however, blamed himself for their death. The fact that he couldn't get to them quick enough led to their deaths in his mind in the city of Fallujah in the year of 2004. Jeremiah was medicated. He was therapied. He was suicidal, and he was self-medicating with alcohol. The Marine Corps then sent him on the rubber chicken tour, right, to speak at Black Tie Affairs. And he proceeded to imitate PFC Ira Hayes when he was asked to do the same thing. Assigned a Wounded Warrior Battalion here in Quantico, Virginia. Somebody thought it was a good idea if Jeremiah went to work at the newly opened National Museum of the Marine Corps. He could talk to people, greet people. He could be like Joe Louis in Las Vegas, for God's sake. Lieutenant General Boomer Milstead, a friend of mine, took his daughters to the museum to go see it for the first time. He sees a Marine in uniform, with his ribbons on, sees the Navy Cross, sees the name tag Workman, and he says, "You're Sergeant Workman." And Jeremiah says, "I am." And General Milstead says, Boomer says, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I work here, sir." He said, "Well, what do you do?" And Jeremiah says, "Well, I'm guarding this replica of a military working dog. Because if people pet it, the hair falls out." And General Boomer says, "What? You're kidding, right?" And Jeremiah says, "Partly." "Do you like it here?" "No, sir, I hate this." And what did it make him do? It made him talk about the thing that he couldn't, that was killing him, that he couldn't live with. So Boomer, he's the Assistant Commandant for Manpower and Reserve Affairs at the time. He goes to see the Commandant, General Amos, and says, "Hey, we've got to get him out of there." He gets pulled up to be the driver for Sergeant Major Kent. And if you hear Jeremiah talk about Sergeant Major Kent, you know, he says, "That man saved my life. He's like a second father to me." So what happened? What made the difference in his life after the medication, the therapy? What made the difference? His tribe pulled him back in, and it loved him more. So with all that said, ladies and gentlemen, this is post-traumatic winning. So that was that's what I wrote. That was my kind of preamble. And what I wanted them to know was the Marine Corps, we can do this. When you see us walk through this, you're going to see what is real, what Marines need to know, as opposed to what they do get told, right? You're going to see how it applies to them. You're going to hear Josh Goldberg come up and tell you how you do this. How do you keep it out of the ditch and on the road? Okay, because that's critically important. And then I'm going to come back and tell you how to convert it to a win, right? Because we're Marines. We're not coexisting with shit. And I have to tell you, it was good. It was good. So anyway, well received yesterday. So very exciting. So with that said, let's check some news headlines here as we get going on a Thursday morning. Again, forgive me. I keep forgetting what day of the week it is. Suicide stories are big in the news. All right. Big in the news as the Marine Corps and Navy both released their annual suicide numbers for calendar year 2018. The Marine Corps wants three types of amphibious vehicles, including one with a 30-millimeter cannon. How about that? That's not, right? LED's got a 25-millimeter. Officials at Marine Force Systems Command posted a request for information on the government website, FedBizOps, on Monday. The ACV will replace the aging assault amphibious vehicle, which entered service in the early 70s. The Marines want three variants of the ACV, a command and control configuration, a recovery and a maintenance setup, and an ACV with a 30-millimeter caliber cannon. The older AAV had space for a 40-millimeter grenade launcher, but in direct vehicle-on-vehicle fighting, the 30-millimeter cannon offers fast, high volume of direct fire as to the Mark 19, which is the 40-millimeter grenade launcher, is more of an indirect fire weapon. You can shoot it in direct fire mode, but so we're not going to do that. And either it was out of the 50 cal. So anyway, Marine Corps wants three variants of the AAV. The subject of peace with the Taliban is much in the news. And there was Ryan Crocker, and you've heard him on this program. We played some of this stuff in long format. He wrote a piece in the Washington Post yesterday. If you haven't seen it, check it out. That what the United States was considering was tantamount to a surrender. Yeah, that word doesn't go down very well. There's another article, an inside look. A look inside the work, future of Jim Mattis's focused on infantry close combat. So SecDef, former SecDef. Put a task force about close combat. How do we revolutionize it? How do we change it? So, an article about that. Democrats want to know why active duty troops are still on the border. I will tell you something. That's a good question. Why are they on the border? And there was just a blurb that said there was another 1,000 that were going to be sent down there. Okay. So, again, if that has morphed, we haven't heard shit about it. So I thought they were going down there to stay till the end of the year in response to the tsunami of caravan people. Have not seen subsequent statement from either the DOD or the president about it, other than maybe 1,000 more troops might go down there. New VA plan. Vets facing 30-minute drives or 20-day wait for appointments could get private sector care instead. You think? Oh, wait, that's outsourcing. We can't do that. Stupid on top of stupid on top of stupid on top of stupid. There is a article that's a big deal, but it doesn't appear to be by the headline. The Army may cut its boat fleet, even as the Navy faces a critical wartime transport ship shortage. So, how do we get there? How do we get our stuff there? All right. Whenever the Navy hits a bump, the first thing they offer up is the amphibious fleet. Yeah. The amphibious fleet. So the talk is that, you know, the money is not going to be there like it was last year when the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate, and that the DOD will take its hits. And where do we find money? Of course, the Navy is going to offer up the amphib fleet. So interesting stuff. Another interesting article: Iraq, Afghanistan vets are split on whether wars were quote unquote worth it. Let me just tell you, I'll give you my opinion. Were they worth it? And then we'll wind this thing up, or we'll take a break. How's that? We'll take a quick break. And then I'll do the top stories in early bird. So, was Iraq worth it? What I see that has happened to the Middle East and to Europe because of the war in Iraq, in no way, shape, or form was the war in Iraq worth it. The war in Iraq was conceived by idiots. Right? Very polished idiots, but idiots. They thought that they could write their own war plan, knock over a government, put some kind of bullshit figurehead government in there, and then leave. And that the Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds were not going to get after it. Right? So it was all predicted. What happened was predicted to have happened in the Central Command war plan. General Shinseki, in response to, I think, either Senate or House on Armed Service questioning, when asked how many people is it going to take, right, to control Iraq after the war, when he said 250,000 or something like that, that was out of the war plan, knowing that you had these three factions that would get after each other. Rumsfeld retired him for that comment, right? And then what's gone on there has been an absolute disaster. And that's why, to me, George Bush, I don't ever want to see him in public ever again commenting on public policy. Bro, you're the village idiot. You are the mother of all village idiots. So go down there, help veterans, and just shut up about public policy. Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, and the mother of all village idiots, Don Rumsfeld, and his butt boy, Paul Wolfowitz. Those guys, I never want to hear another word out of their mouths again. Don't write any books. Just shut up. You screwed the entire region up on a war that you didn't have to fight, that was all predicated on bullshit intel. So there is no way, based on the human loss of life in the region, that what's come out of it, which is still uncertain, will ever be worth it. The war in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan initially was worth it. Okay, the decision to expand the ground war, which has us still there today, we could have a pretty interesting discussion about. You can make the case, though, that by us being there, the United States hasn't been attacked, right? It hasn't been attacked, and nobody's been able to use that country as a base to train, yada, 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 yada. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. More Bomb Ring Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.